Thanks, Warwick. Great to be with you this morning. My name's Kay Brown, and it's my very special joy to wrap up our series on James this morning. What a great series we've had over the past 6 weeks. And Ross, I'm glad it's your favourite book in the Bible. I don't think you'll be the only person that will feel that way. So it's been good that you've been so encouraged. And yes, indeed, we have had some very precious pearls from this book. And today I am wearing my little pearl necklace. I told you about some pearl necklaces I had a few weeks ago, but today I've got the one on that I bought in the op shop in St. George, in outback Queensland. And it's very appropriate I'm wearing it today because Peter and I are actually going up there this Wednesday for the funeral of our brother-in-law, and we will be up there with them. And I want to say to you that if you haven't yet read the book of James, it's not too late. You can still read it, and I'm sure your heart will be encouraged. It'll take you about 15 minutes to do so. And as you're reading it through, if you're kind of reading a bit and you think, oh, hang on a minute, what does that ever mean? Well, as Ross reminded you, you've got the opportunity to look it up on YouTube, listen to the message, and I'm sure that might help. And if it doesn't, then feel free to give me a tingle, send me a text, and I'll be glad to journey with you. I guess the hardest thing, though, is to actually live out the truths that are contained that need to be put into action. And you will be all the richer if you do. I wonder if you've changed your thinking and actions in some of the areas that we've looked at in this series. Listening and doing. Favoritism, that's forbidden. Faith and deeds. Submitting to God. Boasting about tomorrow. Taming, taming the tongue. And two types of wisdom. And what do we have today as we look at the last 8 verses of chapter 5? Well, the topic is prayer. And prayer was mentioned over and over again in that reading, those few short verses that we have. Prayer is a golden key that is kept bright by constant use. It will unlock the treasures of earth and heaven. You know, the elders some time ago set aside a month for us to pray. Why? Because we know there is a great power in prayer as we, God's people, come together and particularly pray for Tom Keneally and his family as they join us next year. And how good I have found it to be praying every morning at breakfast and to be thinking about the many different facets of church life, just to take that time. And I hope you've been really, really blessed and you feel like that you too have unlocked some treasures of earth and heaven in that time. And thanks to all those that have joined us on a Friday night for the corporate prayer. 2 more to go, and that will conclude on November the 4th. James uses the word prayer in these verses 7 times, just in these few verses. You know, prayer is always appropriate. That's a good thing to know, isn't it? Prayer is always appropriate. In every circumstance of life, we can go to the Lord in prayer. We've got a lot of little tiny children here in church at the moment. And I know as parents, there's so much joy when that child of ours finally says, Mama or Dada. And we know, oh, that's us. They're talking to us, and we get a bit of a buzz in that. How precious is that? We have a very special granddaughter. And one of her first words was, Pa, Pa. And every time she saw Peter, she would say, Pa, Pa. And everybody knew who she was talking about. And when I would ring them up on the phone and she would hear my voice, she would say, Nana. When she heard my voice, she would say, Pa, Pa. And she still delights to say Pa's name. And as I thought about that, I thought, if we get a buzz in our soul when we hear our granddaughter say her grandfather's name, How much more does our Heavenly Father delight when we speak to Him? That is precious. Never lose sight of that. James gives us a series of little short phrases of advice on when we should pray, and that's what we'll look at. And the first one is, if anyone is in trouble, he should pray. That's what verse 13 starts with. Now, James is not just referring to any minor inconvenience. He uses the same word that he used in chapter 5 and verse 10 when he talks about suffering and some of the deep issues that these people had been through. James is talking about real hardship in our life, whether that's poverty or persecution, bereavement, betrayal, or whatever that might be. And when faced with deep, deep problems, the godly person is able to pray. I want to say, though, this is not like a get-out-of-jail-free card that you might get when you're playing Monopoly. You know, you pick up this card, yes. Then you get into trouble and you find yourself in the clink and you hand the card over, or you pay a top price off somebody else to hand it over, and all your problems get solved just so quickly because you're holding that card. Praying when we are in trouble is to bring our situation to God and to know that we can ask Him according to His will. It's a great reminder to us, and we heard this in the kids' talk, that God is in control and we can trust Him. In the same time where he talks about trouble, he also says in verse 13, if anyone is happy, he should sing and lift his heart in praise. Now, to a person who is full of joy, this should turn them to prayer. And when things are going well, we are reminded that we are not to forget God in this. We are to respond with a song of praise. The Psalms, the book in the Bible, a very large book, about in the middle of our Bible, contains many such songs. And often as we think of praise, we sort of think, oh, well, that's a group activity. And yet here in this passage, he says, when he is happy, he should sing. This is very personal. It's something that we need to enter into. As I think about church life over the past 3 years of COVID restrictions, I think singing is one of those things that has been deeply affected. No longer do we have live music. We have the video clips, and we're thankful for them. But when you stop and think about it, I think our singing from the heart has been deeply affected. And I was thinking about that. Why? Is it because we are not happy? Is it because we have nothing to be thankful about? Or is it because we have lost the art of singing? I wonder if you sing at home. Do you play music? Do you sing along? Or has the COVID ramification affected you in your personal life as well? You know, when the early church was called to come together in Corinth, Paul encouraged them to bring a song and to share it. So singing was very much a part of that early church. And I want to just pause here and say a very big thank you to all the people, and it's not a huge army of them, it's a small little cluster, that have been willing to select the songs that we have sung in the past 3 years. I want to say there are many times when you have lifted our heart and you have encouraged us. And we are thankful that you have done this. And for those that are on the roster till the end of the year, let me encourage you to realise that you have a very important task to play. And I pray that you'll be very responsive to the Holy Spirit's leading as you look for those songs that fit in for the theme on the day. I know it's not easy to please all of the people, all of the time, especially when it comes to music. But I do pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to prompt and to lead us, and our hearts will return to a spirit of thankfulness as we sing. You know that as an eldership, we were aware of the need for people to connect with music each Sunday. And we know that we have to work with the resources that we have, and that makes it extra hard when you can't do what you might like to do. And I personally am praying that in this month of prayer that we are having, we will see God move in our church in many different ways. And one of them, I'm trusting God, will be when it comes to our singing. I attended a movie premiere with the Maroondah Council this month as part of the support for Mental Health Month. It's a new documentary that's just come out. It was excellent. It's called Thrive. It was so powerful as it filmed, I think it was 6 or 8 people who had pressures and stress in their life, and for many reasons, just like us, they were able to get good mental health to come back through just one thing, being grateful, being thankful. And one of the aids that the psychologists and the teams that were working with them did this was to encourage them to do a journal every day and to record 3 things that went well and why it worked well for them. It was to encourage them with a spirit of positiveness. That's a very powerful thing, isn't it? If you can return positiveness to you. And as I thought about that, I thought, this is not foreign language to us as Christians. We are exhorted throughout the Bible to pause and to give thanks in all situations of life. And we do that as we pray. Not monthly, but daily. God knows life is tough and we will all have mental health issues. And prayer will help us to break the chain that binds us as we are thankful in praise. James then moves on in verse 14. If anyone is sick, he should send for the elders of the church and let them anoint him with oil and pray for him. The Bible says that the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Now here in James, he is not referring to a special gift of healing. He is talking about a ministry of prayer exercised by the elders of the church. The fact that the sick person has to call for a visit from the elders suggests that he is suffering from a serious illness. And the prayers will see the sick person made well. James here is referring to an occasion if the illness is as a result of sin. The request for healing and prayer will also function as an act of repentance and sobering forgiveness. But there is that if in this verse. If this person has sinned, they will be forgiven. I remember a time in our life when my husband Peter was very ill and had a lot of tests. And we had a doctor at that time who shared our Christian faith. And I remember him sitting down with Peter, and he asked Peter if there was any sin in his life that needed confessing and being forgiven for it. He encouraged Peter not to answer the question there and then, but to go home and to take time and to look back through his life and to pray and ask God for forgiveness if that was the case. And Peter did just that. He was very aware of looking back and ensuring that there was no sin actually causing this illness. Now, I think it's good to realise that when we confess our sin, that's God, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You know, as elders here in this church, we have anointed sick people who have asked for that. And it's good to note that it's not the quality or the quantity of the oil that is of utmost importance. The focus is on the prayer that is offered in faith. Now, as I was actually typing these words up, I was sitting at the computer desk, thinking it out, mulling it over, thinking about different aspects of it, the phone rang. And I stopped what I was doing, picked up the phone and answered it, and it was someone here in the church asking for prayer. They were sick, and they wanted me to pray for them. And right there and then, on the phone with them, I prayed for them. And yes, it was a prayer in faith that God would work. And then they said to me, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have called you." I said, "It's quite okay. It's what the Bible says. Like, I've just been reading this, haven't I? How can I say anything else?" I was so, it really was a special movement of the Holy Spirit, I think, to make me realise just how important these words are. And we need never apologise for asking for prayer. That's what James is all about. He's telling us, ask, get someone alongside you, and they will pray. And what, you know, I think it does two things when you ask somebody, because there's encouragement for you that you know you're not alone, and there's a very special blessing for the person that you've asked to know that they can share that journey with you and pray with you. And when that answer comes, sometimes soon, sometimes later, sometimes still waiting, there is that encouragement that you know you are not alone. In verse 16, James advises the whole congregation to get busy confessing their sins to each other and praying for each other's healing. You know, most of the sins mentioned in this letter of James were community sins. So it makes sense that there would be a community prayer and forgiveness. And when you look back through James, you see sins like showing favoritism, neglecting the poor, criticizing others, quarreling and fighting. You know, if anyone has wronged another, he should confess his fault and say sorry to that person. The prayer of faith demands confession of sin and a will surrendered to God. And that means repenting. Remember what we heard on the kids' talk? What is repenting? It's turning around and going in another direction. It's a change of behaviour. It's a change of thought processes. And it also means that you will know God's mercy and forgiveness. A casual reading of these verses might give you the impression that, well, over morning tea this morning as you're munching on your Tim Tam, you're to tell people all about your secret sins. But no, that's not the thought James means. When we sin against someone else, we should be prompt to confess that sin to the person that we have wronged. And we should be praying for one another. Instead of holding grudges and allowing resentments to build up, we should maintain ourselves in fellowship with others through confession and through prayers. I was also seeing this week in another article that I was looking at that physical healing is linked with spiritual restoration. And you notice how James links together in verse 16, confessions, prayers, and healing. Man is made up of spirit, soul, and body. And what affects one part can so easily affect all parts. Psychosomatic medicine recognizes this link and searches for personal problems that might be causing physical troubles. And confessing our sins is vital for our spiritual health and is good for our physical well-being. And then in verse 16 and 17, he gives us a great example of Elijah. Elijah's mighty prayer that opened and closed the heavens in as an example to us that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. The story of Elijah is found in 1 Kings 17 to 19, and twice He specifically prayed for rain to stop and to start, and his prayers were answered. Elijah asked for a supernatural miracle. James is writing to Jewish people who would have known this story, and he reminds them of Elijah to give them encouragement to keep on praying. Elijah, he said, is just like us. God did miraculous things in answer to his prayers. And I think it's wonderful to realise that ordinary people devoted to an extraordinary God can witness miraculous things when they pray. Don't give up. If you need a miracle, just keep praying and trusting God. Will we always be healed or get the supernatural miracle? James must have known that not all our prayers of the righteous are answered in the ways that we hope for. But he makes his point in absolute terms because he wants to inspire action and confidence when we pray. This side of God's kingdom, many illnesses will not be healed. Both experience and scripture make this very clear. Even the great apostle Paul lived with ongoing ailments, which he called his thorn in the flesh. And he prayed 3 times that the Lord would take it away. But the Lord replied, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." That's found in 2 Corinthians 12:9. God, in his wisdom, chooses to reveal his power through our frailties. Many of you will know that firsthand. This is not to take away from James's firm teaching about healing, but both truths have to be held in balance. We know that in heaven there will be no more pain, but we still look to the Lord in the present as the healer of our souls and our bodies. And now to the last 2 verses of the 5 chapters of James. What will he say to wrap it all up? We get a great feel for the heart and for the message of James. This is not a letter to friends, like some of Paul's letters and nice greetings at the ends to everybody. But this was a circular that went out to many groups of Jewish believers. And some of them were not living out Jesus' law of love. So his final words hit home on this point. He says we are to seek out wayward brothers and sisters and turn them back to the truth. What is the truth? Well, in James 1 and verse 18, he says it is the word of truth, and he's referring to the scriptures that we hold dear to, and to the perfect law that gives freedom, not forgetting what that person has heard and read and then does it. That's part of the truth. And you can see that in James 1:25. This final instruction that James gives is to urge his readers to seek to win back those who have strayed. Some of them perhaps no longer present in the churches that he was writing to. And that can be the same for us as we think about the people that we care for who may no longer be with us. You know, that person that James is talking about that is missing is known in that reading as a sinner. A sinner that needs to know God's forgiveness. We're sinners, aren't we? We all know that. Not one of us is perfect. And yet, when we know God's forgiveness in our life, we can come to God in prayer. And sometimes it's easy to colour code other people who may have strayed and think, well, they're sinners. But you know, we all are. And I love the fact that James goes on to say that we can come to Jesus for forgiveness and Jesus covers over our sin. This is the very last verse that James writes. And as I thought about how do we seek out a wayward brother and sister and turn them back, we need to have relationship with them. We don't carry a placard and walk up and down the street and say, you are a sinner far from God. We build relationship with people. We talk with them. We journey with them. We know where they're at and we have opportunity to build on that. This is very personal as you talk with someone about perhaps not walking as close to God as they used to. And yet the Bible tells us here in this passage, we are there to keep people on track. How many times has someone given me a kind, encouraging little nudge to get me back on track? And that's what people all around us need to know. And for all the challenges that James puts to his readers, mercy is never far away from James's mind or from his pen. I've been very, very conscious of these verses over recent weeks since I've been really thinking through this passage. And I've been quite surprised as I've been praying about people in that category, how God has opened doors for me to build further relationships and encourage some to just take one small little step on their journey back towards God. And my prayer for them all is that they will keep on taking small steps that will return them back to the place where God would long for them to be. Well, there are so many pearls in James. Heaps. And I know, just as I think about it, there's just three I just want to wrap up with today. God's word will speak to us as we read it. And we will need to make changes in our attitudes and in our actions. And if you ask God to show you areas in your life that need to change, be very careful because he will. Listen to God and like we heard in the kids' spot, yield and know God's power at work in and through you. And God wants to be brought into all the changing moods of our lives. It's such a defeat to allow ourselves to be victims of circumstances or to wait for our circumstances to change. As you pray over these things, you will see the hand of God, whatever the answer may be. Write it down, put it in a journal, and expect to see miracles. Maybe not supernatural miracles, but they'll be miracles to you when you see somebody's mind or relationship change. That is very special. And I'd encourage you to talk to someone that you trust. It's okay to ask for someone to pray with you and for you. James is a letter of rebuke, of restoration, and grace. And James, in these final verses, says to his readers in these very last two verses, okay, guys, it's over to you. You need to live this out. And the real work of the book of James begins today. As you put into practice looking and seeking for those that have lost their way and encouraging them to take a step back towards knowing God again. There'll be people that you know who have turned away from God, taken a step in the wrong direction. And through your relationship with them, and as the Holy Spirit directs you, you can point them back to Jesus. On Friday night, as I was laying in bed, I was thinking about our family members in Queensland, knowing that soon we will be there. And one particular family member came to my mind. And I prayed for them. And I felt like God was saying, there's more, Kay, keep on praying. And I did. Then on Saturday morning, I thought about them again. And then it was like as if God prompted me and said, let them know that you care. And I sent them a text. Just said, how you doing? How you getting on? Hope everything's going all right. It was just a very little tiny text that just let them know I was thinking about them. And I got a reply back. That was actually a little miracle. I got a reply back. And it said to me that they were in hospital. And on Friday night, they had surgery. Did I know that? No. Did the Holy Spirit know that? Yes. And they told me the tale of woe, and they'll be in hospital for quite a few days, and there's more treatment, and, you know, it was a pretty miserable picture. And I replied with another text, and I said, now I know why God prompted me to pray for you on Friday night. And I will keep on praying. See you soon. You know, as I thought about that, I thought, I didn't expect that. But I can't help but feel it's one small step that's been taken. That they actually then thank me for the prayers. That's someone who doesn't normally express themselves that way. And I'm just looking to see, how, God, how are you going to work out this little step of the journey? That journey back to God has taken them a long, long way away. But one little step as they realise God is interested in them, and it happened just through a prompt in my life and then doing something about it. Let's just pause now as we pray, because I'm excited to see how when you go out the doors today, the book of James comes alive as you put it into practice. Heavenly Father, we have so much to thank you for, that you are a God who is interested in every aspect of our life. You've been there on our journey. You know the times when we failed you. You know the times when we have turned our back on you and we've needed to confess and to put ourselves right. And we are conscious, dear Lord, of those whom we love and whom we care for who have turned their back and are walking in the wrong direction away from you. Help us, dear Lord, to show mercy, to show love. And Holy Spirit, will you speak to us in the things that we can do, small things at building relationship. And we ask it, Lord, for your honour and for your glory. Amen. We've got a final song now to have that's going to lead us into communion with Ross. So would you like to stand and sing, Here I Am to Worship?